is Grace Helbig, and you're watching ShowbizMonkeys.com. Around us down, I'm all right. Around us down, I'm all right.
I mean, no consequence when you playing with the fire. Move to the left, man, no fuss, no fight. You're living on the low.
Grace, it's really great to meet you. Long admired your work.
Thanks.
I grew up on Sid and Marty Krofft, so when you did Electra Woman and Dyna Girl, I was so pumped. I mean, I still have nightmares from HR Puff and stuff, but yeah. This is not as traumatizing and a lot more fun. So it's
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us here. You know, you've been doing comedy for a while now. What are some of your early inspirations?
Man, my early inspirations, I think, are pretty generic in a sense. Like SNL, grew up in my family watching SNL. My dad loved stand-up, so he would always have stand-up kind of on in the background. And mm-hmm. I didn't always pay a ton of attention to it, but we were definitely a very funny family. My brothers are probably the funniest non-comedians I've ever met, and trying to keep up with them as the only girl growing up in a family of brothers was kind of, I think, comedic training for me in a way. And then when the internet sort of kind of evolved right as I was graduating college, I was really inspired by like College Humor. There were these two female comedians, Beth and Val, that I remember. They were the first ever like vlog that I saw online. And I just was so enamored by how like pared down and accessible it was. And so that was really, in those early 2007 years of YouTube, very inspiring.
Now, you come from a sketch and improv background. How do you feel that prepared you for those chaotic early days of YouTube?
Honestly, so when I first started making YouTube videos, I had to sign up for a YouTube account because I was taking an editing class in college in 2006. And that's how our professor had us upload and share all of our projects with each other in the class. And I had no understanding of it being like a public platform. I kind of was like, this is like an internal collegiate video sharing site. Like there was no ability to understand the scope of it. Mm-hmm. But it was just accessible, which is what like a young poor artist type wants, is just like, how can I make things with the budget that I have, which is $0. And from there I moved to New York City to like, you know, chase big entertainment dreams and really kind of cut my teeth at the People's Improv Theater doing mm-hmm. improv, which was so amazing because it gave me a sense of community and really a place that I felt like I fit in as a person that grew up kind of not knowing what group I was supposed to be in. I was very quiet and shy growing up, and I think improv really sort of blossomed my personality in a lot of ways. And then I got hired to work for this website called My Damn Channel, in which I created the web series Daily Grace, which became, it grew online, and I was kind of under contract to make 5 videos a week, even though it didn't feel like a job. It was like the greatest creative homework I could ever be tasked to do. And honestly, improv really was kind of the foundation of what I was doing on Daily Grace. I would ask on my Tumblr every day for a suggestion from people of what to talk about or what are they interested in. And then I would try to find an angle, basically say yes to an idea and find an angle on how I could make 4 minutes of content out of it. And it just became this like exercise every day, this kind of stream of consciousness, free-flowing thing that I think had I not spent years doing improv classes and performing on house teams, I would not have been able to generate almost a psychotic amount of content when you think about it in hindsight.
5 days a week, that's a lot of content.
I was screaming into a void for a lot, but I loved it because it felt, again, There was this growing sense of community. There was this real collaborative effort from other creators to support each other's content that was so different than what I had experienced in the auditioning rooms of, the competitive aspect of trying to get a gatekeeper to give you a part on something. And so the internet really kind of gave me a sense of, I was really able to find my voice as a comedian, I think, by creating and nurturing Daily Grace as a web series for as long as it lasted.
And one of the things I find sort of rewarding about improv, I mean, I love all of the different lines of comedy, but I feel like, where stand-up prepares you to be a smart aleck and sketch teaches you how to work in a team. But improv really, I feel, is the most, gives you the most sort of life skills in that it prepares you to deal with anything that comes at you.
I truly think everyone should have to take an improv class, regardless of having any creative or artistic prowess. I think it is one of the things I loved is like UCB is a very, known comedy institution that people, great comedians come through. And the People's Improv Theater was really like for the people. I had classes with people that were like lawyers and doctors during the day, and they just wanted something to let off a little steam at night. They weren't trying to get on SNL or 30 Rock or any of these things. And that I loved so much, just seeing everyday people being silly, like being vulnerable and supporting each other in such a, I don't know, uplifting way. It honestly had a really profound impact, I think, on myself as a person in the world and as a creative comedian. And so I really can't recommend enough improv classes in general. Just the foundation of that education, I think, can be applied to all aspects of life.
Now you've been on television, you've filmed movies like Camp Dakota, Dirty 30, and the aforementioned Electra Woman and Dyna Girl. Do you have any moments over your career where you've gone like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm doing this right now?
All of it, all of it constantly is, I think, in the years that all of this was happening, I've had a lot of conversations with my friends and fellow content creators over the years about just sort of the disorienting processing of how wild and wonderful the kind of founding years of social media were for all of us. It was very chaotic, but very rewarding. We were being given and carving out opportunities in ways that I don't think any of us could have ever been prepared for. And only after the fact have I really been able to process, again, the scope of it. And I'm still, I think, a little dissociated on how crazy it is that I, just a regular girl from South Jersey, have been able to cultivate community and share comedy with so many people. I think it's been a real salve for me in my personal life. And so, I mean, one of the biggest moments that was so insane, I remember YouTube did campaigns with YouTubers in like 2015 or 14, something like that. And they chose me and Hannah Hart, who was also Electra Woman Dyna Girl, and they put us on billboards and they put our photos in subway cars in New York. And I was getting photos from friends that like my photo was all in subway cars that I used to take to auditions, embarrass myself in auditions, and then sulk on these subway cars on the way back to my tiny spot in Brooklyn, only soothed by the fact that I could go home and make my internet videos that I really wanted to make. So that was like a very an incredible kind of full circle moment.
Now, you stepped away from content creation to return to school and complete your education. How do you think that helped and impacted you as a storyteller?
You have to be a human in the world to be able to communicate the humor of being a human in the world. And I think I spent so many years generating so much content. My good friend put it to me once. She's like, "You've been exporting more than you've been importing, and you might need to take a break and just, live life." And it was so hard to recognize that because the internet sort of fosters this sense of keeping up, of having to stay within the algorithm, stay within the conversations of everyone, because it's so crowded that if you walk away, everyone's going to forget about you. And so it took me a long time to really acknowledge the amount of burnout that I was experiencing. And I wasn't learning things anymore. And so I really wanted to learn again. And also the pandemic hit. And so it just kind of aligned with this online graduate program that I found about depth psychology and creativity. And it was really impactful for me to meet people in my cohort, people that were artists and scholars that did not have Instagram accounts. And I was just like, how do you live? How do you exist? This is crazy. It gave me lived perspective that I think I didn't have for a while. And then it really reignited my love for comedy and my love for attempting to be a silly little clown, a companion, because that's effectively what Daily Grace was for an audience. I realized in all these years past that like a lot of young people were just looking for like a goofy friend that they could rely on every day. And that really gave me a sense of purpose. And so I think taking a break, collecting myself has like kind of refocused me and made it much more, I feel like I have purpose again in what I'm doing.
Now, when you returned to YouTube, almost immediately, you also got the diagnosis of breast cancer, yeah. Which I'm sure profoundly changed your path of yes. content creation. But you then used your platform to share your journey yeah. with people. What inspired you to open that personal experience up to this audience that had known you under a very different context up until now?
Yeah. I laugh at it because I have to laugh at it because it was like, I was ready to go. I was ready to be finished with school and be like, okay, here I am, new Grace in the world. And then the universe was like, well, you got breast cancer. Here you go. Deal with this. And I don't know how to explain it other than making content was the only thing I could think to do for my own sanity. And also I felt kind of not an obligation, but I just felt like it was important to kind of share with people what my experience looked like, because I had never, in a very like lucky privileged sense, experienced cancer in my family and my friends. And it is something that it touches so many people, and everyone's experiences are radically different. And so I just wanted to be able to share really honestly what I was going through. And it was so cathartic for me because I felt like for the first time I was not performing. I was just sharing, and it felt so easy to do versus like trying to find a bit, trying to make a silly joke. Like I was just able to be my human self in whatever I was going through. And it was really motivating. I have met the most incredible people. You know, they say it's the worst club with the best people. And that is very true in my experience. And it kind of, it re sort of ignited my love for like making content in a different way. It like kind of expanded my thoughts on how I could make content or approach content. Now, since then, I have definitely I've put less online. I think I put a lot out there while I was going through treatment. And even my husband was like, you could, you know, maybe do to be a little bit more mysterious online. I was like, fair. But the feedback was so positive of people really appreciating being able to see that side of cancer treatment, because a lot of people have family members or friends that don't want to share what they're going through. And so they don't know how to support them or help them or really understand what's happening. And so just to be able to give a little bit of insight was incredible. And then selfishly, people were giving me tips and tricks and insight that I would have never really found on my own. So I felt like we were all sharing as much knowledge and information as we could. And I felt like those videos became more of like resources for people that can still be looked at now. And there's all kinds of information on like chemo products and websites and creators that are really doing a lot in that space. And so it was unlike anything I'd ever really made before, but didn't feel it just felt very like natural and normal to do.
I mean, my grandma had it when I like fought breast cancer when I was growing up, and I never really understood it, even well into my 20s. And having a resource like this would have been a really wonderful thing in my youth. So I think it's amazing that and wonderful that you shared this experience with people. Now, there's a lot of stigma around the topic of breast cancer and cancer in general. Is there anything that you feel that needs to change around how we discuss that?
I think, well, we need to stop cutting funding for cancer research, if we'd like to just start there. I think it's such a, there's not one way to experience cancer, and there's not one way to support someone that's experiencing cancer. And I think I was trying to demystify it for myself the whole time as well, and try to find the humor, not to like negate the reality, but rather to like kind of alchemize and process like what all the hard feelings like it, that's always kind of been without me even really consciously knowing, humor has always been a way for me to understand my feelings about things. And so trying to find the light in that sort of like darkness became really important for me. And I think just listening and watching people's experiences with cancer or breast cancer, and remembering that we're all human at the end of the day, I think, oh, and I think one of the big takeaways is like trusting science. Like a lot of people opt for like more of a homeopathic response, and I would say let's trust science a little bit. Let's go with what the science is telling us. I think that might
We
be
all loved Carl Sagan growing up. Let's make him proud, you know?
exactly that.
Now you took this experience and made it into a hit Edinburgh Fringe Festival show. Let me get this off my chest. What inspired you to take this to the stage?
Again, it was one of those ways that I could process the experience itself. Also, I have to obviously give a lot of thanks to creators like Hank Green, who, lucky for me, went through a cancer diagnosis about 2 months before I got my diagnosis. So I kind of got to draft off of his experience and the way he was sort of communicating his experience online. And I saw his comedy hour that he did after he was out of active treatment, and it was so inspiring and so wonderful and so authentic to him as a creator and a comedian that I just knew that was something I wanted to do. I mean, I started in improv and sketch comedy, so doing a one-woman show had always been a bucket list thing, but I just never had material that I felt confident or excited about trying to put up on stage. And then this sort of really wrote itself. And I've been able to weave in not just stories about the cancer experience, but also stories about my experience as a content creator for 18 years. So it's really kind of a love letter to the audience that has been through all of this with me, which is just wild to think about. So it's been really rewarding now to take this thing and turn it into a piece of art that I can now like give to other people.
And the experience of creating content for online consumption versus like performing on a stage with people right there is such a very different experience. How has it felt sharing that to people, like sitting a few feet away from you and the emotional give and take of that?
It's weird. And it, because there's an undeniable parasocial aspect of my relationship with an audience. I feel it with other creators that I am fans of. I feel parasocial closeness to. And so there is always an obvious weirdness that I exist outside the box on your screen, that I have legs and a torso and a full human form that I think throws people off for a second. But also, I'm so used to presenting myself in a controlled, edited form, jump cuts and taking out dead air and dead space, and to stand up on a stage and talk for an hour. One is pretty psychotic. But I have a deep respect for stand-ups because I've never considered myself a stand-up. It's always intimidated me, and I have such a profound respect for their craft and what and the ways that they put together their hours of comedy. Birbiglia has been like a real inspiration for me in terms of not just standing up there and telling joke, 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 but rather trying to tell a story with a message. And I've been really enjoying it. That said, I am also ready when this ends to move on to talk about something that isn't breast cancer. But for now, it's been very cathartic to be able to share this with people, and the feedback from people that have experienced it either firsthand or through others has just been there's like I think right now more than ever we're all looking for like some sort of human connection and some sense of community, and this has really brought me in spaces with people where I feel like a sense of shared humanity, and that in and of itself has been really inspiring. And also just to be in person with people is really powerful right now. I've done so much of my work alone in a room with a screen that to be in a room with people and to be reacting for on and off each other is just it's just really great. I really enjoy it. And it's also terrifying at the same time because I can't rely on my jump cuts and my editing. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it.
Now, last question for you. You're going to be performing, let me get this off my chest, just for last, Vancouver,
Yes.
Saturday, or sorry, Sunday, February 15th. Have you visited Vancouver before? Is this your first time? Is there anything you're looking forward to doing when you're there?
Yeah, well, actually, fun fact, Vancouver is where we shot Electra Woman Diner Girl. So I did spend about 2 months or so up there shooting that, and it was an amazing city. Beautiful. The people are so kind. And I gotta say, I will take every opportunity to get the hell out of the United States right now. So I couldn't be happier about coming to Just for Laughs Vancouver and doing the show there. And also to just be in an environment where there's other comedians presenting their art. That's why Edinburgh Fringe this last year was like another bucket list thing that was so amazing to just be around people that are making themselves vulnerable and trying to share their humanity with everyone else. And that I'm really looking forward to kind of being in that space with everyone.